You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Brooklyn has always been a home to writers. Walt Whitman, Thomas Wolfe, Hart Crane, Henry Miller, Lewis Mumford, Betty Smith, W.H. Auden, Carson McCullers, Norman Mailer, Isaac Asimov, Truman Capote, Pete Hamill, Woody Allen, Frank McCourt, Philip Lopate, Jonathan Lethem, and that's just the short list. In celebration of that literary tradition, the second annual Brooklyn Book Festival will take place this coming Sunday in and around the Borough Hall area. It's free and includes readings, discussions with authors, children's programs, and nearly 100 booksellers and publishers. Here with a preview are Marty Markowitz, the Brooklyn Borough President, and Brooklyn District Attorney Charles G. Hines, who will be reading from his novel, Triple Homicide, which is published by St. Martin's Press and the Thomas Dunn Books imprint, and I'm very pleased to welcome them to the show.
It's good to be with you.
Marty, this is the second year of this book festival. How did it get started?
Well, it got started. Listen, anyone that works in Brooklyn knows that we're the epicenter of the creative community, both artistic as well as the written word. When New Yorker's book country ended in Manhattan, that was really the incentive for us to say, you know what? The reason why maybe it didn't work out there is that most of the authors live in Brooklyn. So, hey, we took the initiative and we put it together. And to our utter happiness, last year at this time, more than 10,000 folks turned out from all over the city, so much so that every sponsor wanted to come back and do more. And
In fact, it was a shock. I remember I was part of it last year. And people were stunned that so many showed up. They thought it was going to be, you know, nice, but right. it really was an amazing success.
It was.
But the authors weren't all from Brooklyn. What are the rules here?
Right. Well, the rules, the way I look at it, it's authors that currently live in Brooklyn or those that write about Brooklyn. Or those that may live elsewhere. Brooklyn has many expatriates all over the country. Wherever they go, Brooklyn goes with them, and we invite them. And, of course, there are other people like a Dominic Carter, who is not a Brooklyn guy. He's from the Bronx, but I felt that his book was so compelling that he was invited as well. So it's really now blossomed in this second year. While it'll always be Brooklyn-centric, it really celebrates both international and national writings.
Now, Joe Hines, you actually live in Brooklyn and have pretty much all your life?
Born and raised.
Have you always wanted to write a crime novel?
No, the motivation for this goes back to two major investigations that I conducted, when first as chief of the Rackets Bureau in Brooklyn in the 70s, and then another one in the 80s when I was special state prosecutor. And I observed a tragedy unfold outside of my office in the Rackets Bureau, where a young cop was being placed under arrest, and he was being rear-cuffed by internal affairs, and his very pregnant wife came out of the elevator, burst into tears, ran over to where he was, threw her arms around him. And I watched for a few seconds as they both sobbed uncontrollably. And I thought, what a waste. And it was the culmination of months of cops being taken down for bribe receiving, often with little or no money. And I certainly didn't think about writing a novel in the 70s when this happened. But as I began to see these unfolding tragedies, I thought, you know, something has to be done. And then early in 1992, I got an idea that maybe I could write a novel about the experiences.
You also heard some of the story from a guy named Morty.
Yeah.
Right? Not Marty, right?
No. Morty, everything in the book is fictional, other than the two investigations. So Morty and the rest of the characters are made up. They may be morphing of characters I've met, but they're all fictional characters.
I can add, too. I read the book thoroughly. In fact, I just came back from Turkey a few days ago. And
Wait. Don't say Turkey and a book at the same time.
But on the plane and in part of my time in the Republic of Turkey, I enjoyed the district attorney's book very, very much. And I must tell you that there are characters and situations there that bear some resemblance to some political figures in the past here in New York City. And he skillfully wove them in. in a way that really keeps your interest up right until the last page of that book.
So it's a Romana Clay to some degree.
You know, lawyers enter a plea of no contest. I enter a plea of no contest.
Well, we're going to get Patrick Fitzgerald in here, and we'll subpoena you to force you to reveal all of this. Now, it's a crime thriller, Marty, involving police corruption.
Yes.
Does that sort of thing really happen in Brooklyn?
Oh, I doubt it. It's not possible. Well, at least I can't believe it could ever happen, that's for sure. But actually, his book really demonstrated the depth of some of the corruption that occurred in this city in some of our worst days, but with the hope that's been significantly, if not in a very large way, that there are safeguards now to prevent that from happening.
And the interesting thing, Leonard, is that when I wrote it, I had written another book about my experience at Howard Beach, and
that was nonfiction.
That hit the shelves very quickly, and I thought I'd get this book out and would really raise the consciousness of young cops. But in 1992, Ray Kelly put a design in that basically changed the dynamic for corruption investigations. And while we've had another corruption scandal in 1995, significantly, the new Internal Affairs Bureau that he set up conducted that investigation and made all the arrests. So, the goal has never been anything other than what it was when I started it. My hope is that someday a young cop is going to walk up to me and say, I read your novel, it scared the heck out of me.
Well, Marty, you have to be pleased that there's also a scene that takes place at Junior's.
Yes, oh, of course. Of course. And he didn't dwell on the brisket, my favorite sandwich there. I must tell you that the authors that we have lined up for Sunday, and by the way, it starts at 10 a.m. and it goes until 6 p.m. And we're not only using Borough Hall and Borough Hall Plaza, but also St. Francis College, thank you, Dr. Frank Macchiarola, and the Brooklyn Historical Society. But some of the authors...
All in the general area.
Yes, all within very brief walking distance. A.M. Holmes, Edgewidge Danicott, and Dave Eggers, and Mary Gateskill, Jonathan Safran Foer, Gloria Naylor, Chuck Klosterman, Jonathan Lethem, as you mentioned, George Packer, Gail Carson Levine, Francine Prose, Mo Willems, Reverend Run, Pete Hamill, Melissa Marr, of course, Colson Whitehead, David Booley, and as I mentioned, Dominic Carter of New York, one, and of course, our own district attorney, to name a few. Plus, throughout the day, we have tents and specific areas dedicated for those that are 3 to 8 year old young people, as well as teenagers. And I think the really important thing about the book festival, besides folks that absolutely have a joy of reading or a joy of writing, is to really encourage parents to bring their children there, because I think that the excitement of meeting the authors, of being part of these workshops, will really inspire a love, a thirst for books, for reading. And I know that today, young people, their computer screens, every type of screen is what their turn on is. There is nothing like a book. And putting that book in the hand of those young people, they smell it, they feel it. Maybe I'm speaking as a 62-year-old that I am, but I think there's a certain excitement. I know you feel that way, Joe. You feel that
way.
We all feel that way. And I think this kind of a festival brings out the best.
And you have all these different categories. You have chefs coming in.
Yes.
Some of the best. David Boulay, Dan Barber, Dorothy Hamilton of the French Culinary Institute. You have a conversation called Born and Raised, which features Pete Hamill and my brother,
yes,
Bernice
indeed.
McFadden.
Indeed.
There are a lot of others, and then there are readings. But there's also this, isn't there a thing called the Big Read? What is that?
The Big Read is where...
people just get together and do a lot of...
Right, really. All of this is really...
And people just sit there and one author after another comes out.
Right, one after... And they just talk. We did it last year and in a modest way, and this year we're expanding it. It really gets the audience, those that attend, very, very excited to really, listen to the authors and then shoot their questions off.
You're going to be talking on Sunday with New York One political reporter and author Dominic Carter.
I can't wait. I'm turning the tables on him.
What are you discussing?
Well, I read his book, and I must tell you, No Mama's Boy is the name of it. And unless you're a very hard person, you have to break down and cry at parts. He was truly an abused child. And I think that all his life, he battled the demons on this issue of hiding what his mom had done to him. Not until he was in his late 30s and early 40s was he able to overcome. This book was the ultimate therapy for him, to be able to break this out of him, the kind of cloud, the heaviness that has been on this very successful man. And I got to tell you, it is absolutely phenomenal that with all that he went through, that he has made such a great success in his life with a beautiful family, a wonderful marriage, and has gone on to great fame and contributions for all of us. So I'm very excited about the opportunity to interview him. While I was not abused as a child, nowhere near, there are some similarities that what he went through in his life that I went through in my life. Anyway, I'm looking forward to interviewing him and see how good he is on the other end of the table.
Now, Joe found time to write a novel. This is his second book. Any novels in the works for you?
Well, I mean, I get folks all the time say, Marty, with all the characters that you've met, it would make a great novel. But I just don't think it's going to happen in the immediate future.
How did you wind up writing books in the first place? Is this something you'd always wanted to do?
Well, I was an English major in college, and so I enjoy writing. I enjoy writing as a lawyer. But the Howard Beach
book...
But
lawyers don't write English. They write some kind of a strange legalese. You had to unlearn,
criminal lawyers write English. But I was approached by Putnam to do a Howard Beach memoir, and that was fairly easy. The writing of this book, this novel, I mean, it's an eye-opening experience. It took 2.5 years because I had an active day job, so my writing was limited to weekends for the most part.
Complicated plot as well, which I had to work out.
The muse is serious. I mean, you'll have a writer's block, but the joy is, you know, I'm sitting there on a weekend and suddenly, you know, ripping off three chapters. But getting the publisher, that took 10 years, and then once I got a publisher, I had a terrific editor who was like an Irish nun who drove me crazy for 2.5 years, right? Basically restructuring the book.
Did she rap your knuckles when you got something wrong?
No, he would do it verbally. He would say unpleasant things like, I thought you went to a Catholic grammar school. I said, I guess I majored in attendance. But Sean Desmond, his name, is a terrific editor. And he really created this serious mystery, and it was very exciting. But... And I have another book in mind, but I'm not sure I can wait around another 15 years. So.
Oh, easily. Come on.
Meanwhile, you'll be there.
Absolutely.
Reading. Yeah. Will you also be discussing crime novels?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And the whole thing is this Sunday, as we said, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Brooklyn Borough Hall and adjacent parks and plazas and some other buildings. People will be able to find their way around.
Yes, they'll be directed. We have loads of volunteers and staff that will be spending their day there.
And it's important that this is free to the public. Actually, it's a lot more ambitious than New York's book country used to be, which was mostly people. I know we used to have a WNYC booth, and people would come up to us and say wonderful things. It was very nice, but it wasn't the same. And then there would be some readings. But this is really a much more literary event.
Well, that's why the New Yorker called Brooklyn the dominant literary borough. And I'm proud of that. We're known for a lot of things, but I love this as well.
I guess Tom Wolfe was wrong when he said only the dead know Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
If people want more information, because there are so many different events, you can visit brooklynbookfestival.org. And I want to thank the both of you so much. Congratulations, by the way. It's hard getting a book published.
Oh, it is tough. Thank you, Leonard. Thanks for having us.
Charles J. Hines, his first novel, second book called Triple Homicide, just out from St. Martin's Press in the Thomas Dunn Books imprint. He'll be one of the many participants in this event on Sunday, and the man who probably did as much as anyone to put the whole thing together, although there are you have a couple of very important coordinators.
We have a great Brooklyn Literary Council. We really, really do. Johnny Temple especially gets so many kudos, and all the members of the committee.
Marty Markowitz, Brooklyn Borough President. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
I want to go back, hey, to my home there in Brooklyn, the USA there. Back to the whence I first came from. I want to see once more my little old home. Next to the subway station,
I wanna see once more that little old school where they learned me my education. Oh, take me back to Brooklyn, where things was always good. That's where I always should have stood. Take me back to Brooklyn, USA.